Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Joan Pierce. You think you have problems? How would you like to have been Joan? You're kicked out of the only home you have. You have two little children. You have a third on the way. You have no money. You have nothing. You don't know where to go, what to do. You can't even read. How does someone pull themselves up? I mean, you listen to this, and run a $2 million business. There is an answer, but I want to go back to the beginning. Joan, you were raised, as many families here in the United States are raised, with a single parent.
Right.
Did you ever know your father?
No, I do now, but I didn't when I was a child.
And you spoke Italian
right.
at home.
Right.
And you're... mother remarried, and I imagine that must have been the happiest day of your life because you just had a need for a daddy.
I sure had a need for a daddy. I wanted one so bad. From the time I was born till my mom got married, that's all I wanted was a dad. Because all the kids at school talked about how their daddy took them here. But you know, it was the happiest day of my life when my mom got married and got me a dad. But 3 months after, my dad started sexually abusing me. And he decided he wanted me to be a straight-A student.
How old were you at the time?
Seven.
Oh, my goodness.
7 years old.
But why didn't you tell your mother?
I did tell my mom. I told my mom what was going on, but he told my mom that I lied. And my mom believed him. And I never found out until my mom died. Just before my mom passed on to be with the Lord, which was just a few years ago, I said, Mom, when I was a little girl and I told you that my stepdad was doing that, did you ever really believe me? And she said, I knew it was happening, but you were the only one from that, and the rest were his own children. And I decided that you only had a few more years, and I didn't know where to put you, and I thought it was better that you stayed here, and I tried to protect you if I knew he was going into your room. So she knew, but she never did anything about it.
But in addition to that, he was a perfectionist, and he wanted you to have straight A's. And is it true that he would slap you up till like 1 o'clock in the morning?
Sometimes till 2 and 3 in the morning. And my mom would say, she can't learn. She doesn't know how. And I had dyslexia, and I was also found out later that I was handicapped, and I was actually in a mentally retarded class in school. In fact, when I took a test in school, they had me listed as an idiot. I mean, literally, and I had to... Which really wasn't a
true. Did you buy that fact, though? Did you believe
yes.
that was true? How in the world, with such a bad perception as you had, how in the world did you pull yourself up? But again, we're getting ahead.
Right.
Okay, you're out in the streets.
I've been beat up. I'm 2 months pregnant. The place I was staying threw me out on the streets. They were drunk, and they took my babies out on an afternoon nap, threw them on the front porch, threw my clothes on the front porch. I put the clothes in a backpack. I grabbed my two boys. One was 3 and one was a little over a year. And I took them, and it was raining. I was in a total strange town. I didn't know anybody. And it was raining so bad, I went in a phone booth to try to get out of the rain. And I was hurting because I'd fallen down 2 flights of stairs because they'd knocked me down the stairs.
Talk about hopeless. You think you're hopeless? Listen to this. Go ahead, Joan.
And so I put him in the phone booth, and I was raised Catholic and Mormon, it's a long story.
Quite a combination.
We won't go there. But anyway, so I said, Rob, please be quiet. Alan, please stop screaming, because the boys were screaming. And I stood there in this phone booth, and I said, God, if you are real, if this God I heard about as a child, if this Jesus I heard about as a child is real, I need help now. God, I don't know if you know how to talk to me, but speak to me now. And I heard an audible voice say to me, I mean, talk about when God speaks. You don't have to worry about it.
Joan, had you ever heard an audible voice?
No.
What was it like?
It scared me. I'm being honest. It scared me. I started trembling and like, what is that? And he didn't answer the way I thought he would. Anyway, if God was going to talk to you, he said, call the lady you met in a donut shop. And I went, that's how you're going to help me, God? And he said, call this number that you got from a lady in a donut shop. So I called her and I said, I don't know how to read. I'm illiterate. I'm hurt. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to, if you don't know how to read, you can't use a phone book. And I don't know how to use a phone book. So I said, please just tell me where to go for help. is there a shelter? I have no money, and I'm homeless, and I don't know what to do. And she said, you just go sit in the donut shop, and I'll be there in 40 minutes, and I'll come get you. Just order something for your children. Don't worry about the bill. Wait, don't leave. And that lady took me in her home, and then when it came time for me to have my baby, I had no clothes, because I couldn't get on welfare at that time because of some legal law. But anyway, so when it came time for me to have this little girl, first of all, I couldn't do an abortion, okay? I just didn't have that in me. But I had her already signed up to be adopted. But when she started kicking about the fourth, you know, I said, I can't give this. And this lady said, you can't give your baby away. You already have two boys. And if you can raise these two boys, you're going to give the boys away? And I said, no. She said, well, it's not going to take any much more to feed one more baby. So then I said, I can't give my baby away. So I called the people that were lined up for adoption and said, you can't have my baby. Anyway, when it came time to have my baby, I had no clothes, nothing. I mean, when I say nothing, I mean I didn't have a blanket to wrap my baby in, nothing. When I went to the hospital, I had nothing to bring that baby home. And so the lady bought me a cute little outfit for her. It was a little girl. I said, thank you, God. Thank you for a little girl. And I wrapped that in that one outfit. And when I walked into my welfare apartment with my baby in arms, I looked and the house was full of food. There was clothes. There was a crib.
Where did all this come from?
It was just filled with stuff.
And I'll tell you what. Hold that thought. We'll be right back in a moment. But it is a woman with that kind of background, not even being able to read, running a $2 million business. Give me a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Hello, YouTube. Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Joan Pierce. If you think you're in a hopeless situation, wait till you hear how hopeless Joan's situation was. Two children, third on the way, no place to live, no money, can't read, nowhere to go. She's in a phone booth. She cries in desperation, God, help, help. And a miracle happened. She hears God's voice. And God says, go to the donut shop, and call the woman you've met there. And you call this woman, and she arranges for you to have housing. You have your third child. You go into the apartment, and you are shocked. What do you see?
I am shocked because I had nothing. The house is filled with cribs, bassinets. Not only that, but on the sofa was clothes for my boy, Alan, clothes for my boy, Rob. And I just stood there holding my baby and I started crying. And I said, who do I thank? And this lady said, now she was not a Christian. She said, she smoked, she cussed. She was just a cantankerous, wonderful lady, you know? Mm-hmm. She said, I typed a letter of what your needs was and I went out to about 14 churches and I went in and I said, I want to speak to the guy that's in charge. I don't know if he's the priest or pastor, whatever you call the guy in charge. I want to talk to him. And she got right in their face. She'd go into the pastor and she'd go, I don't know what it says in that Bible you guys read every Sunday, but there's a lady that has needs. And I'm sure somewhere in that Bible, it says you're supposed to take care of people in needs. Here's what she needs. Do something about it. The house is unlocked. Fix it.
You know, Joan, what amazes me is God chose a non-Christian to bless you. I'm wondering if most of the Christians would have been too busy, but let's not go there right now. But then things went downhill.
What happened is they filled the house with furniture and food and clothes, but nobody came back to get me the greatest gift of all. Wasn't the furniture, the baby clothes, because for months I would, every time I put a new outfit on that little baby, I'd go, oh, thank you, God. Oh, thank you, God. And I would just cry. I mean, I was just crying, but little by little, because nobody came back to tell me about Jesus. Nobody cared about they took care of the physical needs, but nobody took care of the spiritual needs. Little by little, trying to earn money, because I wanted to be rich. I went from poor, I wanted to be rich. I had this in my head, I am going to be rich.
Listen, you became the second leading salesperson in this international company that you were with. How in the world did you get from there to there?
God.
All right, but in addition to that, and all these other things going against you, you can't even read. How do you go into business?
Oh, well, I got the little girl next door to come over and she'd read everything for me. And I would pay her to read.
Don't you ever say, I can't do it anymore after you hear what happened to Joan. Go ahead, Joan.
I hired people to read what I needed to read. And so anyway, I was trying to be successful.
How did you have any confidence at all with the background you came from? You should have been, I don't want anyone to see me. I've just been at a pity party your whole life.
Well, you know what? I just want to share this with you, Sid. Some people, when they are sexually abused, go introvert. And some people that are sexually abused, which I was, become angry. And I became extremely angry. And after a while, after I forgot about how God blessed me, I was mad at God, mad at people, and I had this anger that motivated me. So it was like a demon, actually.
I see.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
There was something pushing me. And so when I couldn't get my drugs after about 5 or 6 years in this business, one day I hurt my daughter. I stabbed her. This little girl that I brought home from the hospital, 7 years later, in a rage, I was doing a shag rug, and she was bugging me about something. And without even, because I was demon-possessed. I don't know if you viewers believe in demons. I was a little Catholic Mormon girl, and I got to know about demons, like, firsthand, and I'll tell you in a second. And all of a sudden, I went like this. She was driving me crazy, and I had this shag rug thing with a hook on it, a poker. And I went, wow. And before I knew it, I had it stuck in her leg all the way into the bone. And I saw myself, with this poker thing stuck in my daughter's leg, and I was like, and she's screaming, you're crazy, Mom, you're crazy, you're crazy. And she took off, I pulled it out of her leg, and she took off to her room, and she pushed her little furniture in front of her door, and I sat there and I said, I'm crazy. Carrie, please let me see you. Please, Carrie, let me get you to the doctors. Let me get you somewhere. And, you know, I took her to the hospital, and I had to have a tetanus shot, but it was a clean cut. But I knew then that there was something seriously wrong with me. And all of a sudden, right about that time in my life, my neighbor that was across the street, Pentecostal lady, which I used to laugh at, she had these bumper stickers, Jesus loves you, hallelujah, praise God. And I used to go, oh, she's a holy roller, she's a fruitcake. But she started coming over and telling me that Jesus loved me. And I'd say, Jesus can't love me. And I called the Mormon church. Now, I my sister was Mormon because we were Catholic and Mormon. And so I realized I needed to be a better mother. So I called the Mormon church and said, send the missionaries here so I can learn how to be a good mom. Well, the missionaries started coming over teaching me Mormonism. And when my neighbor saw it, she came over and says, don't listen to what they're saying. And she said, I want to tell you about Jesus. I said, what do you care? You've been my neighbor for 3 years. You know I've been over here crazy. And I says, why didn't you come earlier? And she says, well, now the Mormons are here, so now I'm coming. But anyway, to make a long story short, because we don't have the time for it, she kept working on me for 9 months, and the Mormons kept coming. And actually, the Jehovah's Witness started coming, and everybody started coming. I was really confused. She finally got me to go with her to a meeting. She told me it was a Catholic priest speaking, and it wasn't. It was an ex-priest, and it was a full gospel men's meeting. And she got me there, and I felt the presence of God, and everybody was speaking in tongues, and I was like, I got to get out of here, because I had a demon in me. And I said, I don't want to stay here. I want to get out. So anyway, at the end of the meeting, she says, you want the man to pray for you? I went, no way. So we got out in the car, and she says, well, I want him to pray for me. Do you mind going back so he can pray for me? She's smart.
Very tricky. I'll tell you what. Hold that thought. We'll find out what happened to Joan. Imagine she got straightened out, became what we call a mensch, and had a $2 million business. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Joan Pierce. No one should have to go through what Joan was going through, but she found herself at a full gospel businessmen's meeting, and she thought, all those people are crazy. She ran out to the car just to get out of there, and her neighbor was smart. She said, Joan, I need to be prayed for. I'm going to go back. So did you go back with her?
Yes, I went back with her so she could be prayed for, because I didn't want him praying for me at all.
Right.
And she takes me right up to the evangelist, and then she says, she needs prayer. And I went, oh, no, I've been tricked. And so when the evangelist went to pray for me, he started praying for me, and I felt sick. And all of a sudden, anyway, to make a long story short, he commanded an evil spirit to come out of me, and I felt something leave me. I literally felt something come out of my body and come out of me. And he shared a little bit of Jesus with me, but he didn't get me saved. But that night I had an awesome encounter. And in that encounter, Jesus came to me, and my room became brighter than the sun. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the light, and you need me." And when I woke up from this encounter,
what did Jesus look like?
He just glowed. He radiated love. There's no way to the viewers. There's no way to explain the experience I had. All I can say is Jesus is so beautiful. And when you see Jesus, all you feel is love. And you got to remember, I was raised in a family with no love. And the love overwhelmed me in such a way that I passed out. I don't know how to explain this, but I literally, when I saw Jesus, passed out. And then my room became brighter than the sun, and I just collapsed. Mm. And when I woke up in the morning, and I was having my coffee, I started thinking of, as I was drinking my coffee, I was thinking I'm going to be Mormon any day because I was going to be baptized Mormon that weekend. That's how cut it real close there. And as I was looking at my coffee cup, the Lord showed me a vision, open vision. I never had an open vision before. I saw the heavens open up, and I saw a vision of everyone that ever witnessed to me in my life. Said, I saw somebody saying to me when I was 4, "Jesus loves you," and other people. I saw, it was like a flash. Mm-hmm. I saw everything, and all of a sudden I saw that this evil spirit came out of me, and I ran to my room, and I saw that I'd called on the name of Jesus. I ran into my room, dropped on my knees right in my own house, and threw my hands up in the air, and I said, "Jesus, you're real. You're real. You're real. I'll live for you. I'll die for you. I'll serve you. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. Jesus, help me. Come into my life." And I've never been the same. I've been telling people about Jesus ever since.
So the whole deal isn't religion. The whole deal is knowing Jesus. Okay, you started a Bible study. Problem. You didn't know how to read.
Right.
So what happened?
I didn't know how to read. God told me to start a Bible study in my house. And I said, "Well, I don't know how to read, Lord." And everybody laughed at me, too, because I actually wrote 2 books before I could even read. And people discouraged me of that. But, you know, how many people can write 2 books before they can read? It's unheard of. Only God. People say, "Who wrote those books?" I said, "I didn't. The Holy Spirit wrote them." But I'm doing a Bible study, and I'm getting ready to do a Bible study. And all I want to say to all the viewers, just hear God and obey. That's the answer to everything in our life. I heard God say, "Do a Bible study." And I said, "I don't know how to read." And he says, "Just obey me, Joan." So I went and invited neighbors. I said, "Who do I invite?" He said, "Invite the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Christian Science." He said, "You invite everybody, because it's not denominations." So I went out and invited people in my neighborhood, and they laughed at me, but that's okay. And I knocked on one of the doors, and one of the doors I knocked on, I said, "I'm doing a Bible study in my house. Would you like to come?" And she said, "Come in, honey." And she took me under wing and said, "Yes, you can do it, even if you don't know how to read." And her name was Gertrude Wright, which was John G. Lake's daughter. And so John G. Lake's daughter lived right in my neighborhood, came to my Bible study, and I couldn't read, and a bunch of ladies laid hands on my head and said, "God supernaturally teach you to read." And for the first time ever in my life said, "I wanted to read." You see, my stepdad made it so I hated reading because he used to beat me, right? Mm-hmm. And sexually abused me. So in my heart, I said, "I'm never going to learn to read. I'll fix you," which was anger.
So how did you learn to read? They prayed for you, but how did you learn?
My Father in heaven said, "I'm going to teach you to read. If you will read," God said, "if you will read from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year, I will put you in full-time ministry." And I'm going like, "I don't know how to read." And the Lord said, "Read Genesis to Revelation in 1 year." And I opened the book the day after they prayed, and all of a sudden I knew what every word was. No man taught me to read. God, supernaturally, in a twinkling of an eye, 1 minute I couldn't read, 1 minute I could.
And in a twinkling of an eye, how in the world did you get a $2 million business?
Oh, in the twinkling of an eye, after I got saved, you know, from that experience at the Full Gospel Men's Meeting, I was so overwhelmed with my love for Jesus that I went to the Full Gospel Men's Meeting every month, and I endorsed my paycheck. I didn't know about tithing. I got a check on the 1st and a check on the 15th, so I just took my paycheck, signed my name off, dropped it in, not knowing that when you give to God, He blesses. So all of a sudden, within a month, it went to another, it just went like from here to top in the nation. And within 6 months, God spoke to me again. I just learned to hear God. In a prayer meeting, God said, you will own your own business before this week's out. And that was on a Monday. Friday, I flew to Salt Lake City, and the president and of the United States of this business and the worldwide president of this business said to me, they called me into a special meeting, and they go, what have you been working for, and what do you want more than anything in the world? They're looking at me, and of course, I've just accepted Jesus, and I said, that everybody knows Jesus. And they go, okay, that's good, but what do you want second? I said, there's no second to Jesus. And they go, okay, down to earth, Joan, what have you been working for in this company for 8 years? I said, oh, to own my own business. And they said, we have a franchise for you. There's only like two openings a year, and you have to be in the top in the nation to get these franchise. So we have an opening for you, and we want you to go up and check it out. And I just looked at them and smiled. I said, I don't have to. And they go, why? I said, are you planning on giving any other openings between now and Sunday? And they go, no. I says, God told me on Monday, and I've already told my children we're moving. I've already told my mom I'm moving. And everybody said, where are you moving to? I said, I don't know, but God told me before the week's out, I'll own my own company. And you're offering me a company on Friday. And God told me.
Yeah, but you didn't have the money for this company.
No, I know.
How'd you get the money?
I told them that. They said, we need $250,000 for this and $118,000. Anyway, it was $450,000 altogether. And I just looked at these guys and said, I don't have no money. And they walked off for a few minutes, and they came back, and they said, we don't know why we're doing this, but we're going to give you this business interest-free for, you have 7 years to pay it back.
Okay, it was $1 million business. How long did it take for you to make it a $2 million business?
I didn't do it. God did. 1 month.
What? Did you hear that? 1 month.
It went from $1 million to $2 million.
Very quickly. Your children, do they know God?
They all know
God
now.
They know Jesus?
Yes.
Okay. What, you are married?
Yes.
And
all serve the Lord.
What about that dad?
You know what God did? I got ready to go on the Philippines after he taught me to read. I was getting ready to go on a mission trip. And the Lord says, you're not going any further, and I cannot increase the anointing on your life until you deal with an issue. And I said, what is that, Lord? He said, you go make a trip to your stepdad, and you tell him you're sorry. And I went, what? I said, God, I'm not going to go tell my stepdad I'm sorry. I was 7. He was a grown-up man. He was sexually abusing me. He was beating me. What do you mean, God? And the Lord says, you have anger and hate in you, and I cannot use you. And the anointing on your life is at this level, and it will not go no further until you forgive your stepdad and forgive everybody that has ever hurt you in your life. And that was the hardest thing I ever did, said. I flew to where he was.
But you know what? Let me explain something to you. She did it.
Did it.
She became free. I wish we had the time. We don't. Miracles happen when she speaks. If you will just do what God says, you say, well, I haven't heard his voice. But why don't you start doing what he says in his written word? You can read. You don't have an excuse. Start reading the words of Jesus. Start reading the entire New Testament. Find out about the one person that loves you no matter what you've ever done. The one person that accepts you, the one person that can look inside of you and say there is a destiny on your life. Because if God could, would, and desired to do this for Joan, he could, would, and desires to do it for you. So stop looking back. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Repent of your sins. Believe the blood of Jesus washes away your sins. And ask Jesus to become your Lord. Live inside of you. Start reading that Bible. Start recognizing how loved and precious you are. You are God's person.